The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and welcome to the Inner Voice Show. Today, we have an opportunity to chat about you, about your life, about your relationships, about everything that matters to you, and it's important in your life. Now, my intention is to create a wonderful space for all of you to create clarity for yourself in what you want in life, in how you feel, how you act, and how you create and co-create this life of yours, and how you create the life for everyone around you, too, because obviously you impact everyone around you. So call me at 951-922-3532, and today is our first time. I'm so excited. And I also want to thank Sean Nickerson and have all of you meet Sean, because he's going to be our studio engineer. So together, we're going to be with you. So call me at 951-922-3532. This morning, I was also at Aaron and Brad's morning show. It was wonderful. I really thank them for having me on. And I love to have all of you to call in and we can chat. And I think we have our first caller, actually, Roxana on the line. Roxana?
Hi, Dr. Fujian.
Hello, Roxana. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, it's exciting to have you as my first caller.
I'm excited, too.
Yeah. So tell me about you.
Well, I am 35 years old, mm-hmm. single, but I live with someone who is 6 years younger than me.
Nice. Okay.
Well, I want to get your professional opinion on dating and or marrying someone that much younger than me.
So you live with someone who's 6 years younger than you, does that mean that you are dating each other or just living together?
No, we are dating.
Okay. Male or female?
Male.
Male. Okay. So how's it been so far? How long have you guys been dating?
Well, we've known each other for 2 years, but we were living far away, coast to coast. So it was like a very much of a long distance relationship. And then we decided to give it a try and live together to see how things work out. So we both moved to a mutual state. He left his home state. I left my home state. And now we are living together.
Oh, that's wonderful. And how long have you guys been living together?
For about 6 months.
Oh, 6 months. Okay. All right. How old? And he's 6 years older, younger than you, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so far, what is it that you like about this relationship?
That's a good question. He is nice. He is a nice person. He's just a nice person. But I'm not sure if I can tolerate him all the time, because sometimes he comes out as a child to me. I don't know whether it's because I'm 6 years older or what it is. But sometimes he acts like a little kid.
And what does he do that you think he acts like a little kid?
He doesn't know where to stop, whether he is being too cute, for example, with the dog, or if he's watching a sports event, he just jumps up and down and out of control, where I enjoy the same thing very much so. Like if we are at a ball game, I am enjoying myself. I am showing all sorts of attention to the game, but he just will not sit down. He just jumps up and down and loud, and just like a kid would do at Toys R Us, you know?
So I don't know if a 29-year-old doing that is just being a kid because of his age, or that's just the way he chooses to be and he enjoys playing his child side. Have you ever told him that kind of bothers you at times?
Yeah, I told him the first time it happened, and he heard me, but then he did it again.
Oh. So that's just part of who he is, in a sense. So your question is it okay to date someone who's younger than you? And I think that it really depends. The age itself only really, really matters when it's a change of phase of life. So such as if you're 35 and, you want to have kids and you want to marry and you want to be in a space where you're getting closer and closer to wanting a family, and maybe he is still younger and he doesn't want that. So maybe the phase of life might not be very similar. But if it has to do with character and maturity, then it depends on what he has had in his life as far as experiences. Has he ever been married before? Has he ever been in a long-term relationship before? Has he ever lived with someone before?
No, he's never lived with anyone before, and I don't think he's had a long-term relationship. He was in a relationship, but it wasn't long-term. And another thing about him that bothers me is that maybe because he's the only child, it's all about him.
Oh.
Everything so that he does.
He doesn't know couplehood. He doesn't really learn how to be, in a sense, in a couplehood where he can kind of together make something and be together in a way. Have you been married before?
No, but I was in a long-term relationship. I was living with someone before this.
So you're more mature, not only from age, but also from life experience.
Yes.
What are the things that would... there was something about him that got you to meet from across the coast and then even choose to go to a third state and live together. So there was really something about him that made you want to be with him. What was that?
Well, we were both on a business trip, and that's how we met. I liked it because he was a professional. My job requires me to travel, so did his job at the time. And then we got to talk, and he was just a decent person, and the way he kept approaching me, calling me and showing interest kind of got my attention.
So you like it when somebody gives you that attention and the interest, but then now when he is kind of going into himself, then it's bothering you.
Yeah, it bothers me because he talks about himself and what he has and what, he talks about things in general a lot. For example, let's say he's got a nice watch, for example. He keeps talking about it. If he has a nice set of golf clubs, he keeps talking about it. If you have it, good for you. People don't need to know about it. Those who see it and understand it. And those who don't, you don't need to talk about it all the time. That's what bothers me about him. He's
so it seems like he's still trying to raise his self-esteem and confidence and show other people what I have. And sometimes we're not settled yet inside. So we need to keep telling people so we get a feedback from them in figuring out who we are. And we have the world be our mirror to tell us that we're good enough. But I would see also your eyes after 6 months of living, he's no longer feeling probably that good enough. So maybe he's actually needing to get other people's feedback to say, I am good enough, because somehow the way you're talking to me, maybe you're also letting him know that you're frustrated with him, because you sound frustrated with him.
Sometimes I do get frustrated with him and I tell him that, but sometimes I talk to him like a friend, and saying, dude, you know, you are good as you are. You don't need to show up. But it's like he doesn't hear me, or like you said, he needs to experience it more. And that's where I feel the gap about the age,
right,
that I'm more mature than he is.
In social settings, it seems like. Now, when you live together, what about the rest of the responsibilities, such as taking care of the house, the hygiene of the house, bills, decision makings that you do as a couple, as you live together, the chores around the house and all of the other ones, or like socialization between him and your family and friends and you and his family and friends. How are the two of you compatible in that area?
In keeping the house nice and neat, we're not anything like each other. I'm a very clean, you know, neat person, and he is the messiest that I have ever seen in my life. So we, no, seriously, doctor. So he and I decided that we are going to have a cleaning lady come once a week and keep the house clean for the sake of our relationship.
So, Roxanne, are you feeling like his mother at times?
Yes. And I'm not a good mother, you know. I am not ready to be his mother. Let's put it this way, you know.
Well, you might be an amazing mother. You just don't want to mother your mate. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm trying to say, yes. I don't want to be his mother. I want to be his other half, not his mother, you know.
Yeah, it just kills attraction. It really does. I would probably think that he didn't come to see you and be with you and live with you to actually go back home and live with his mother either. So he probably is not enjoying you taking on that role. But I'm sensing that there's a part of you that this is not working. So you keep wanting to discipline him and tell him what to do and what not to do and how to be and how to act in the public. And this irritates you. And then after you tell him, does he rebel against you or does he actually listen?
He listens for 2 seconds and then he forgets and goes back to his normal self.
So, but he listens because he actually agrees with you? Like you have a dialogue and he agrees with you?
Not necessarily.
No.
Sometimes I feel like he wants just to shut me up. So he agrees with me. And then, like I said, it doesn't last long, and he goes back to what he really, to who he really is, you know.
Right. And it probably is not that enticing for him to also be in a space where he, in your eyes, is not on a pedestal, and he's not being seen as someone that you could be proud of when you are around. It seems like you were interested the same way that he was exciting, and he was gaining a lot of attention and coming to you and getting your attention, and all of that was exciting. But that was fun for maybe dating and being across the United States. But when it comes to living together, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to more responsibilities, it seems like you needed more of a compatibility. And somehow in 6 months, you're sharing and seeing that the compatibilities are not there. Sometimes people are not that compatible at the beginning, but at least they're willing and excited about learning to become us, to become the two of us together, something in between that is beautiful and we can create. And it's an opportunity for both of us to grow. And I can learn and grow with the other person while so he could grow into all the aspects of responsibilities that you're presenting in the maturity, and you can grow to maybe play a little bit and not be so, you know, like the motherly person who has to, everything has to be in a particular way. So maybe if you can both see each other in that level of, it would be awesome to be together. But if he irritates you and you cannot put yourself in a position that constantly is enjoyable for you, and you have to watch him, because if you are out, it's as if you're out with an unruly child, and this just doesn't sit well with you, or you're embarrassed by him or uncomfortable, then you're not going to have a very, very good relationship. It's going to be kind of like lopsided. after a while, you're going to become more of an irritated mother, and he's going to become like a rebellious teenager that he's going to just be irritated and probably start lying to you or moving around and wanting to be kind of away, not be with you a lot of times. Have you noticed that already?
Yes, I have. And I think the reason I think we are about to, you know, go our own way. And I think it's only fair for him. He needs to grow up and experience life a little bit more by himself before he can live with someone. Or he should maybe find somebody like himself, you know, so these things won't happen. Because it, like you mentioned, sometimes when we are out with friends or in a, you know, gathering, I kind of have to keep my eye on him, not to do something, or say something that is not right. And I don't want to be that person. When I'm out, I want to have fun and not have to think about what my mate is going to do or going to say. Is it, you know? So I just wanted to get your opinion. Is it the age difference, or is it something that I need to change about me?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily age difference. 6 years could be for when men are younger. Usually women sometimes grow faster and they have more experiences, such as you've had an experience of being with someone and living with them for a long time. So that gained experience for you. He does not have that. Now he's either going to have it with you or he's going to have it with somebody else. But ultimately, he has to grow up into different types of experiences in couplehood. So if you have the tolerance and if you can enjoy a lot of different things about him, then maybe something that you could do. But if not, I mean, you could have been with somebody who's 50 years old and still acts the same way. So I don't know if it's just the age difference. It could be just the character difference, and that it's the element of not having the same experiences. This is my suggestion for you before we say goodbye to each other. This is my suggestion for you. Roxanne, why don't you take a piece of paper and put take it and kind of log for about a week or two and see what are all the things that are beautiful about him and that you love about him, that he adds to your life and is just great. And then all the things that kind of irritates you and upsets you about all of the behaviors that are there. And then maybe you can have a, you know, heart-to-heart talk with him and let him know that these are all the beautiful things that brought us together. I love you and I want to be with you, and all, and these are all that works. These are some elements that just doesn't work for me. And is there a way that that you and I can come to some agreement about how to change some of these behaviors that works for both of us? And maybe ask him to do the same, to write a letter, you know, write the benefits and the cost of this relationship together. And maybe you can also listen to some of the things that he says that is irritating him. So maybe you guys give each other a chance to grow in as a feedback that you're giving each other. And that might be beautiful. If you do those exercises and dialogues and you see, just isn't doing it. You know, we're not compatible. We tried and, you know, we're going forward, but this is not really working. Then maybe it is time to say goodbye and, you know, find someone who is more compatible with you and have had some life experiences that have matched you. How's that?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was beautiful talking to you. And I'm so blessed that I had you for my first caller. It is wonderful. So call back anytime you want.
I will. Thank you so much, doctor. You have a pleasant day.
You too. You too, honey. Well, thank you, Sean. I guess we're going to go on a break and everyone will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
San Bernardino.
Max
savings for Toyota of San Bernardino. Dreaming about the new 2018 Toyota Avalon? Take a drive on the style side with either 0% APR financing for up to 72 months or $5,000 in customer cash back with the purchase of your new 2018 Toyota Avalon at Toyota of San Bernardino. 215 Freeway Auto Plaza Drive, San Bernardino. Offer ends 4/30/18, 0% APR for 72 months based on $1,389 per thousand borrowed and available to buyers with approved Tier 1 Plus and Tier 1 credit only from Toyota Financial Services. Does not include taxes, license, title fees, insurance, and $80 in dealer charges.
Don't be late for the 100th annual Cherry Festival, starting the weekend of May 31st through June 3rd at Stewart Park. Gates open at 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and at noon Saturday and Sunday. There's some great entertainment, just to name a few: Eddie Money, Bretton Woods, Jefferson Starship, Mini Kiss, and Restless Hearts. Carnival rides for the kids, vendors that all will enjoy, and a beer garden for the adults. Use the free shuttle from the Beaumont Walmart or the Beaumont Sports Park and get $1 off admission. See you there!
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan. Dr. Fushan has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice, Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
After the game, after school, after work, Applebee's is where you want to be to enjoy their bold, savory grilled steaks, salmon, or chicken. Applebee's is located where Beaumont meets Banning, just off 6th Street near Highland Springs Avenue. Applebee's started with the same philosophy they follow today. Focus on serving good food to good people in a neighborhood-style setting. Applebee's also offers car side to go when you order online. Applebee's in Beaumont, serving the Pass area. So fresh, so fast, make it Applebee's tonight.
And now, back to our program.
Okay, so call me, 951-922-3532. I would love to hear from all of you. So until we talk to the next caller, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Life Reset book that I created, and it is from the psychological and an educational model that I created based on all that's out there and I learned for 27 years and kind of put it together as a structure. And it's actually in this book, The Life Reset. And not only that, I utilized that in therapeutic mode, and we did a lot of research on that with Cal State Long Beach students, 130 students that we did, and we minimized depression and anxiety and raised self-esteem and self-efficacy. But we also decided to create this model as a proactive model with children. So GEM Educare is the first daycare preschool that is in Tarzana, California, that is having and running this model, the awareness integration model, with their children. There is a post, is a video that is on my page at the KMET page. If you go on KMET1490AM.com, and on my page, you'll see a video. It's an educational video that it's the founder of GEM Educare and me, and there's Dr. Jaffe, who's a scholar and a researcher. And that's that I wanted you, all of you, to know that if you wanted your child to actually go through this awareness integration model as they're growing up, which this creates a distinction between their emotion, it creates emotional intelligence for them. You could go ahead and call GEM Educare at 818-858. I need my glasses. Let me read you the actual correct number, 818-858-5955. I think we have another caller on the with us.
Hello, Dr. Fujin.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, yes. Welcome.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but I need some help. That's why I'm calling in.
Awesome. Tell me your name.
My name is Clyde.
Hi, Clyde. How old are you, if I may ask?
I am 50 years old.
30 years old. Okay. So tell me about a little bit about you, and then what is your concern or something about your life that you want to share with us?
Okay. Well, I am recently divorced. It's about 4 years now, and I have 2 young children, 8 and 5.
Oh.
Go ahead. And I still feel, I guess, some form of resentment or a mixture of
missing out some of the. You keep getting cut off, Clyde.
Can you hear me
can
now?
Can you talk to the? Can you talk to the actual phone? Because I think you're getting cut off.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I do. So, girls or boy?
Okay. So basically, I still feel, I guess, some remnants of resentment or disappointment. And I just want to know, is that something that I can actually get through and become a better person, a better father?
Sure. Can you tell me why you got divorced?
That I really don't know. I don't have the full answer or story behind it. I know I brought something to the table that may have triggered that, but I really can't really say.
How long were you married?
Going back, let's say 6 years. Total of 13 years together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking some responsibility and saying that you brought something onto the table. Can you tell me what you brought to the table that created the divorce?
Well, after seeking some therapy, it seems that part of that resentment that I might have been carrying around started with my mother, and that lack of relationship there. And as you know, children covet what they see every day, and picking some form of what she was and a mate probably facilitated that behavior in me that I was unaware of until, unfortunately, it was too late.
Did she ask for a divorce, or did you ask for a divorce because of your resentments?
Well, it was more or less at the point it got to, I was just, there was no relationship left in my eyes.
So you created resentment for yourself, and then you kind of pulled back?
That's what I'm very unclear on in terms of, was that the trigger over the years, or I know it's something that I needed to work on, and now I'm aware of what that is.
And you said that after 4 years, you're still holding a lot of disappointment. Are you disappointed at yourself, at her, at the marriage, at the experience?
I think it's a mixture of everything, because I'm someone that wants to be able to fix things, to make it work. And at the time, looking back, I thought I offered therapy, or let's try this, or I'll change, I'll get better at doing whatever it is. And that old adage of it's not enough, or it didn't work. And then some things with her behavior has not changed over the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. And knowing what I know now, it's been there the entire time we were together.
Oh, yeah.
But I just looked past it, through it, made an excuse for it. So, it's not that bad. I could deal with it. It's no, you know, it doesn't matter.
What do you think of her, Clyde?
Pardon me?
What do you think of her? How do you think of her? If you could give me adjectives or what you thought about her personality, what would you say? Good and bad, positive and negative. Because obviously there were positive that you were together for 13 years.
Well, you know, thinking back, I was just head over heels in love with her. There was nothing she could do that would upset me, and just was fun and beautiful. She's intelligent. And I just can't say those things simply because that's not how I feel or how she appears to me now, knowing what I know and some of the behaviors that have come about.
And what are some of the negative thoughts that you have about her?
Like I said, the disappointment comes into play of me thinking she didn't put forth enough effort. The insult of not respecting my time or my ability to co-parent, being as though it's our first go around at being a parent, so I would take it that we're both still learning. There is a learning curve. So all of a sudden, she's the expert. And my opinion doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So about feelings, what are some of the positive and negative feelings that you have toward her or and about her?
Well, I think that she's trying, and if she's struggling with something, the best thing to do is to be vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm going through something. And get help. So that's something she used to do, and from where I stand, I think those issues are still there and not being dealt with, and I'm kind of getting the backlash from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the disappointment on my end comes in.
Right. So there's disappointment, sometimes frustration, sometimes anger. All of that shows up right now.
Exactly.
Okay. And how do you behave toward her?
I've become, I guess, neutral, because if I revert it back to pet names or a little silliness in the way I interact with her, it comes out as a reaction or an attack to me. So now I'm neutral. I just keep it about the kids. No small talk, and just that's it. Because if I go one step to the left or right, it opens up a can of worms and it becomes an argument.
Right. So sometimes when we're away from divorce for about 4 years, it depends on if there's any part of you that is still stuck in the relationship aspect of it as a mate that you're still disappointed with or you're not clear. I hear you that you have learned from the relationship, knowing that there are aspects of this relationship where you it taught you that you still need to complete many of your childhood issues with your own mom, you know, whether you were attached to her or not, whether she fulfilled all of your expectations or not, or the way that maybe you rebelled against your mother, the things that you needed from her and didn't get, and maybe you needed to get it from your ex-wife and she wasn't giving it to you. So there's something you've learned from that. There's also things that we all learn from our divorce and the marriage, which is what areas worked. We all know that there are behaviors, there are thought patterns, there's emotions that when they are in our marriages, they work, and they're emotions and behaviors and thought patterns that it doesn't matter which marriage, which culture, where, you know, which age you do, just doesn't work for any marriage. So sometimes we are in it before we learn what it is. You know, every marriage goes through a honeymoon stage, which, like what you said, it was all beautiful and she could do no wrong. And for her, that was probably what it was for you. And then marriages usually go through finishing up the honeymoon stages, and they go through a power struggle stage. And if they, you know, people don't know how to get out of that power struggle and kind of negotiate the equality of what their needs are and learn how to communicate appropriately, a lot of the divorces actually happen in this power struggle stage. And it seems like that's what actually happened. And the more that you found yourself in that, you both pulled back. And obviously children, the first one and the second one, When children show up in a marriage that is really healthy, it enhances the relationship and moves forward. It gives meaning and purpose to a relationship. But if the relationship is not solid and it hasn't necessarily worked through and it's not healthy, then children just put a lot of stress into the relationship. And it seems like for both of you, that stress just got the best and the better of both of you, and then you need to let go. But today, after 4 years, it just you need to maybe distinguish between the two parts. One is about you and the divorce. The marriage as it was and your process of divorce and who you are and who you would be and what do you think of yourself when you look at yourself as a married person or as a divorced person, and distinguish that from a person who's now a co-parent with another, let's say, family member. Because when you get a divorce from someone when you don't have children, you just say bye-bye. You'll learn from it and move on. But when you have children, that person becomes a family member for the rest of your life. And although your children are young right now and you have to deal back and forth, but even, you know, when they become 18, 19, 20 and they go on, you still have a lifetime family member. So if you could look at her as that, a lifetime family member, that some of who she is you love, it's fantastic, and you can see it in your children. And she's someone who has given you these two beautiful children, and a lot of amazing, her personality and her looks are into your children. So every time you look at your kids, you can see her. And they're, you know, like every other family member, an aunt and an uncle and a cousin and, you know, some, even our parents, they're areas that we just don't like and it irritates us. And she's going to probably have some of those for the rest of her life, and how to get to know them and how to kind of allow her to be as who she is instead of making her wrong about it, and then learn how to negotiate these times where you guys have to co-parent with the children. And also listen to what it is that she's complaining about you and see if it has any validity. And if you could do it differently, and if you could listen to her and negotiate her and give her what she wants, only because it makes you a better person, because it makes you grow. If not, she's just, you know, complaining, and because she wants a particular way and you don't just do it that particular way, then you can acknowledge her and let her know that I understand that that's your path and that's the way it is. And this is mine, and I'm more than happy to negotiate in a way, because obviously we're going to be family members for the rest of our life. So this is not a short-term relationship, and this is no longer about our marriage. And this is about being an amazing parent to our kids. And let's choose us as a family, because we will always be family. Let's choose us the betterment and the best that it can be for our kids. And this way, maybe you can shift the power struggle of what you had as the husband and wife, and have it be two co-parents who can really look at what's best for the kids, although you might have different opinions about what's best for the kids, but I'm sure you can negotiate something that works for both. And your kids, 5 and 8, they can talk now, and most of the time they can tell you what they want, and you can really bring them into the negotiation pretty much and see what's best for them. Does that make sense to you?
Even at that young age of 8 and 5, but just to kind of, you know, touch on a point about negotiating, you need the other party, the other person to come to the table with an open mind and also be willing to give something up is, I think, a key component to any negotiation. It can't always be my way, your way. It has to be something in the middle that we both can say, okay, I'll give up a day, or I'll pick the children up, or I'll pay part of the cost. You have to meet somewhere in the middle, and it has to be something given up in order for that negotiation to be fruitful. But I do understand what you're saying, and that's the path I'm trying to take, but it's very difficult to kind of keep being that way.
When we are married, we attempt to look for some benefit, right? Like, even when you're working, imagine when we are driving, everybody thinks of themselves first. obviously, I need to look at what's beneficial for me. And that's what I do. But the other side is that we live in a community. We live with other people. We drive among other people who are also thinking of themselves. So when we look at a negotiation, obviously each person, when they come to the table, first think of themselves. And at one point for the negotiation to go well, they have to start looking at the other person's perspective and what their needs are to come to some terms. The other part is some negotiations are one-time deal only. Like you go, you know, shop for a house or a car or something, and, you know, you bargain and wheel and deal for one time, and you feel good or bad about it when you come out. But some negotiations are in long-term relationships, such as co-parenting. It's a long-term relationship negotiation, and marriage is a long-term negotiation because we're going to be in relationship. So the same thing as, you know, when you're at sports, that your favorite team is not going to always win, because then we won't have any fun sports to go to if only one group only wins. So sometimes you win and sometimes they win, and they keep up the whole sports industry because everybody gets excited, because sometimes they get excited about who's going to win the next time and what do they have to do in order to win. So when you look at the relationship of co-parenting or marriage, we're all going to win at one point, but if the relationship is a lose-lose, obviously the relationship is going to go south. So when you're a co-parent, you don't have the privilege of, oh, let me be nice and be winning because, you know, at the end of the night we can cuddle and have an amazing, you know, lovemaking together. So obviously as a co-parent, the only leverage that I have is to have happy kids and mature kids and kids who are going to grow up and love both of us. That's what your advantage is in the negotiation piece. So if you can, as soon as possible, bring that out and, you know, bring your kids in and what makes them happy, what is it that they need and how can we negotiate? And if, you know, if I give this time and can you give this time, and somehow we create this balance between the negotiation of each time that we have to deal with each other. That's one mechanism to look at. The communication. Another one is to systematize things as much as possible. Because when you systematize it, there is less time to kind of debate on these things. So systematize time frames, things that you got to do, finances. The more that you negotiate on systems, it's easier to just be done and you know, kind of follow the system versus needing to negotiate every time. Because negotiation every day, it becomes very much mood-based. And, you know, people can just be pissy one day and it doesn't matter. They just don't want to negotiate. So if you can create negotiations on systems.
Okay. I haven't thought of doing it in that,
does that make sense?
Manner. It does. It makes very, very perfect sense.
Awesome. Thank you, Clyde. It's awesome. You are my second caller. I love it. Call back anytime you want. I love talking to you.
Love talking to you, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, are we, Sean, what are we doing? Are we going on a break and coming back with another caller, I think? Oh, awesome. I can just go and talk to Nilo. Hi, Nilo.
Hi. Is this Fujian?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good, great. Are you Fujian?
I am Fujian.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about you.
This is Nilo Khalili. I got your email and I wanted to talk about Bianca Foundation and relation between the teens and parents. And I wanted to know what is your idea of, how can we improve this relation between these two generations?
Oh, thank you. I love the work you do, Bianca Foundation. And I thank you for calling. And when it comes to parent and teens, I know that the Bianca Foundation got started over a tragedy of your daughter, right?
That's right.
Yes, and thank you for taking that on. I mean, I get caught up even thinking of what you had to go through of losing your daughter, and I thank you for taking that grief and making it as a strong voice for mothers and for fathers and for parents to be up to see what it is that the teenagers are going through. With all the shootings in school, with all the depression in school, with every stress that is happening, teens are going through a lot right now.
And
it really takes a whole family to be together and talk and open communication with their children in such a beautiful way that their teen has the capacity and the clearing and the love and the space of non-judgment to be able to talk to their parents and get resources and safety. So what I can support you with, if I can, you know, we can meet and I can create and bring the awareness integration model somehow with your foundation and take them to school systems at this point, you know, we're taking it, we're opening up, actually we're doing it with a charter school, Crete Charter School, with 132 students who are actually in South Central, and we're starting in August with that school, from which serves about 132 students from age 3 all the way to 12. And we started this in the daycare, and we also did it with universities. And I love to be able to get it to junior high and high school and create that.
Absolutely. So at this point, I think, throughout their life, they need this kind of a guidance from the parents, especially these days that, you know, it's a chaos in the world. And most of them, I mean, it starts when they become a teen, and they are changing in every way, and every little thing is a challenge for these teens. So Bianca Foundation started from high school, 9 to 12th grade. I mean, this is what I always say. Imagine when you were 13 and you knew all this information, where would you be in life right now? I mean, these are the things that kids, I mean, they learn about everything, math, social study, history, geography. I mean, 9 years of history, I don't know, I'm not saying that they shouldn't learn, but I think in 1 year they can learn all the history in the world. But what they don't learn is about life skills, how to challenge and how to overcome their challenges. And peer pressure, bullying, conflict with parents, siblings, friends, peer rejection, school, test, homework, high expectation. I mean, they are in a lot of pressure. And I am, as a mother who lost a 17-year-old daughter by the hand of her peer, and it's like, I think all the teens, they need to... We need to show them a way to overcome their challenges. So nothing like this happened to anyone else, I hope. And it's a very, very sad tragedy, and I have to live with it to the rest of my life. But at least I want to bring some kind of education for the kids so they don't have to go through all this chaos. And ultimately, they're going to go to, some of them that don't know what to do, they go to drugs, to alcohol, to depression, to, you know, they become 40 years old, they don't know what they want to do, they don't have a job, they drop school. There's a lot of things that I'm facing every day, but right now we have them in two major high schools and 3 other smaller schools. Which there is a lot of students in there, and with the help of whoever is listening to this radio, please stand up, support Fujian, support Bianca Foundation, support all this education that the kids need to learn. I don't know how to say it, but I promise
you are saying it, family. Bianca. You are saying it, yeah. Tell them, so go to biancafoundation.com or .org. Is that where our listeners can go to?
Yeah, it's TheBiancaFoundation.org. It's a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
And we need parents, we need volunteers, we need a team to make this bigger and bigger. And my goal is eventually this needs to become one of the curriculum in the school system. They have to do it.
Yes. I'd love for people to go and check. These are different systems, different ways. But I do agree with you that in some aspect, teens, junior high and teens are very important. Most of the people really look at early childhood. I think early childhood has its place, and it has to be. But I also think that what the junior, with the people, with the kids going through with the junior high and high school also builds so much.
You know what these kids are? They are the future parents. Imagine if they learn this stuff, what kind of a parenting they're going to do for their own children?
Yes, yes.
You know?
Nilu, it was a blessing for you to be able to be on the show at the first day of the show. I'm so glad that you called in and came in. And thank you for being with us, and thank you for sending such an important message to all the parents out there to take the life of their children seriously, take the emotional aspect seriously. So thank you.
Exactly. Thank you so much for taking my call, honey. Good luck with your show.
Absolutely.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing. All right, honey.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Wonderful. Wow. We had our first show together. How amazing is this? Now, I love to be able to hear your stories and hear your conversations. And just email me, FujianZane@gmail.com. And, let me know that you want to be on the show. And put this on 951-922-3532. So I'll be here next Monday and at 3 o'clock. So I love to be able to hear from you, all of you again. For all of you who listened, and for all of you who were with us at the, seen the video, thank you for listening with your heart. And I love you all, and create an amazing, amazing time for yourself and everyone around you. Until next week. Bye-bye.